you were here this morning, you received a blessing as Honor A spoke to us, and we're thankful for the opportunity to have them here again tonight and to present their ministry in Togo. Honor A and Kim Afolabi and their three children, we're so thrilled to be able to have them with us today and just be able to be caught up to date on what God is doing in Togo. So we're going to turn it right over to them. When they're done, we'll take an offering, which will be a gift to them for their time with us today, and we'll close in prayer for their ministry. So, Honore, you come. Lord bless you.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a blessing to be back here to see you guys. Last time I was here, I was by myself, and I told you I was married and I have children. Maybe you didn't believe, so this time I thought it would be good to come and prove it that I'm indeed married. No, it's a blessing to be with you. You have been encouragement to us. And I'll say this. It's a good thing when you send an email out and you hear from some people and say, how are you doing? We're praying for you. It's not a long one, but it's good. So once in a while to hear from you folks that will be praying for us. And you're showing your love in different ways to us. So we want to thank you, honestly. Because you give, because you pray, we're able to go to Togo and represent you. It's a partnership. And anything that we've done there, it's not because we're good people. God, by His grace, through our partnership, has allowed that to happen. So let's think about this meeting as a stockholders meeting. All right? So you invest. And now you hear some stuff about how the investment is going. So a stockholder meeting. So we're changing that meeting like that now, call it that way. No, just joking. That'll be too much of a stock market place. But honestly, I want to thank you for your ministry to us and our goal. So everything we talk about tonight is just a reflection of what God is doing. We give Him the glory. But if I fail to say that at some point, just please understand that that's what's happening. So we're going to have the PowerPoint, and my wife is going to talk about life in Togo, and then I will talk about the ministry in Togo. So she will come, and I understand she did talk to some ladies today. Please apologize for her, you know. Oh, okay. I got to look. I got to sit down.
Anything?
No.
Just keep talking. Just keep talking. Well, I had a good morning this morning with the ladies there. That was good. I spoke to them a little bit about what my day in Togo looks like, along with the several various interruptions that can come along, and how the Lord has helped me learn how to deal with those interruptions. And my schedule may not get done, but maybe something that he wanted to get done was accomplished. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our family and maybe a little bit about what Togo looks like for us as a family. Oh, technical difficulties. All right, well, that means that the children need to stand when I tell them their names. I can start with that. I'm getting a look from my daughter. We just to do a little quick review of history for any of you who are newer since Honore has been here. Honore and I met at Calvary Baptist Church in Lansdale. He was a seminary student in the seminary there, and I came down to teach a first grade class. You know, God has a sense of humor. I was a fourth grade teacher, and I loved it. And I stood out at recess one day with a first grade teacher, and all these little first graders coming up to her, I need this, do you know where the... And I'm like, Lord, I'm so thankful I am not a first grade teacher. And the very next year, I was a first grade teacher. I still like fourth grade better, but I made it through. God also has a sense of humor. When he has a girl from Minnesota who grew up in Minnesota, loves winter, has me marry a man from Togo, West Africa, that's just so many degrees above the equator, and sends me over there in the hot with no winter at all. It's hard to adjust for Christmas singing Let It Snow when it's 97 degrees outside. So that was an adjustment as well, but we have our things. We set up our little computer and go to YouTube, and you can download a snowy window, and then you play your Christmas music so you can look at the snowy window and listen to Christmas music and make your Christmas cookies. You may be sweating, but we learn to adjust and do fun little things like that. So we have three children. Our oldest is Bio Joy. Just wave your hand. Okay. And she is 14. KK is 12. And Saudi Rose is 10. And they travel around with us because they have to. We are missionaries with ABWE, and around 2015, we went to French school in France, and because that's a requirement, because Togo is a Francophone country. And so we spent 14 months there for me to learn French. The kids did great at picking it up and speaking it. And then we went to Togo in 2016 in November. So we leave France in this beautiful fall, clear weather, get off the airplane to 80 degrees humidity and 90 degrees temperature. It's kind of hot thinking about it. So that was our shock. But I think it was good. I think it was good for us to arrive in hot season because it got better from there as April and May and June came along. So when we arrived there in Togo, it took a few weeks. We stayed with a missionary for a couple weeks, and he helped Honoré go out and find a place for us, and God provided us a very nice place in a very nice neighborhood. We're on the edge of the city. We're Lomé, and that's in the south, and I'll have a map up once they're able to get it going. And that's down south on the border at the ocean there. And we're kind of like in the northwest part of the out edge of the city. We're very near the Ghana border. The Ghana border is only 15 minutes away from us. So if we've got to evacuate or get out for some reason, it won't take us very long to get to a border that does that. All right, let's see if the clicking will work. That's a July 4th missionary get-together, and I'll talk about going up to see the missionaries and their compound there. All right, so BioJoy, KK, Saudi Rose, and Ranger. I did not mention Ranger, but here he is. Our Belgian shepherd. And he is a nice big dog with a big bark, and the Togolese are scared of dogs, so we got a big one with a big bark. But he loves the kids. He loves playing with the kids. Right there in front of him, he has a lizard because he likes to catch the big lizards because he wants something to play with. So he doesn't understand when they just lay there doing nothing. He kind of nudges them like, you know, let's play chase. So. But he's a good dog. So as I said, we were appointed missionaries at the ABWE, and we went on a deputation and raised our support. And that's my class there. My teacher's right in the middle with the dark hair. French school was very hard, but I think the Lord provided very good classmates and a whole good group of students that were there, various levels, just to be able to sit and pray with one another through the hard times. We all had our different hardships, and had a great teacher, very understanding and patient. And it was a good that way. It was difficult learning, but it was good because of the people we went through it. That's a truck with our stuff coming off our container. That was a little picture. That went kind of fast. Okay, so if you see this picture here, that's our van outside parked on the road, which we do during the day, and then at night we stick it in the garage. On the other side is a front yard with a sidewalk there. And in the middle, you see that cement wall with a razor wire. So that razor wire, along with bars on the windows. I thought was a bit overkill for security because inside we have these big metal doors, or gates that we lock. We have a glass door and then we have a big metal gate to lock on all of our inside doors. And I thought this was getting a little overkill here. Then his brother came over and told Honore that he had a motorcycle stolen out of his property. Well, his brother also has a tall cement wall all around his property. So the only way for them to steal a motorcycle out of his property was to jump his wall and push that motorcycle up over his wall during the night. So I was thankful for razor wire and bars in the wall. All right. So where do we live? Anybody geographically challenged? Here's the continent of Africa. And then Togo's in West Africa. There's 16 countries that make up West Africa. So if you hear of like Nigeria or Ghana, Ivory Coast, we're like in the middle, stuck in the middle of them, of that group of countries. Now here is Togo, nice and skinny, same size as West Virginia. We're just kind of all one skinny country there. And we're going to talk about Lomé. So if you read our updates or anything on Facebook and you hear of Lomé, that is where we live. That's where we're based out of, and we are the Lomé missionaries. We have people who come down to go to the airport. They may stay with us if they got like a 7-hour layover, and we just welcome them in. You can sit and have a meal with us, and we'll take you to the airport, or if they got to get picked up, or if their luggage comes late. Those are things that we do to help the missionaries out. Sometimes missionaries even stop by and use our bathroom before they go shopping, because they'll come down and do a month's worth of shopping in the big city until they go back up. Palime is Honore's hometown. It's an hour and a half. And yes, children, I do need to know. I need to fix that because it says 2 hours, and every time they tell me, that's not right, Mom. It's an hour and a half drive up north of us. And he still has family there, so we stop by and see them. ABWE has a blind school that's there that we get to visit with the missionaries there and say hi to them from time to time. Honore will tell you more about what ministry we do in Palime. Then there's Kara, and Kara's normally a 6-hour drive up north. Now, just so you know, there's only one highway that connects Lomé to Kara. So if there's any accidents or the road's been washed out or big puddles or something, there's no exits off and drive around and exit back on. There's just one highway. You have to wait for the accident to clear out. And one time we came across an accident. They had a big crane trying to pull the car out of the ditch. And Honore looks at me and says, we might be here for a couple hours. So thankfully, they must have seen all the traffic behind us gathering up, and they just stopped the crane and moved it off the road and let the traffic go. Then we have Mongo. That's another place where ABWE has a hospital. Honore's been able to talk to some pastors up there, but we also have friends that from French school and their families. I forgot to mention Tico. Tico's under Palime. Tico is where ABWE has their first hospital that they first built. So if you hear or read about us going to visit friends up in Tico or having a team meeting where we have our business meetings every so often through the year, that's Tico. The kids have a lot of MKs that are the same age as them, and they're able to play and go around the compound safely and play with their friends there. And I get to catch up with the other missionary ladies. So, all right, Mongo was the last one. And life in Togo. So here's a big picture. That is Sadi Rose buying some ice cream from the ice cream man. They ride through the neighborhoods honking their horn, and they sell frozen chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. I think it tastes like frozen chocolate milk, but the kids like them. And he's got this whole cooler. He likes to come back to our house because I buy a whole bunch at a time, because during the dry season, hot season, you got to have a nice cold thing in the freezer for the kids. So I'll buy a bunch of his frozen desserts there. The top picture, the kids were playing an MK game for one of our team meetings, and there was, wrap the kids up in toilet paper game. I do homeschool, and that's what the bottom picture there is. I do homeschool all three kids. We did put them into a Christian school. We had said that we were going to do that when we were raising support, and we tried it, but it didn't work out so well because the teachers would speak in Eve, the local dialect, and mix it with French, and our kids always didn't know what was going on. So we just tried that for one semester. Then we have here a video of a rainy day during rainy season. So rainy season, you'll get rains for 3-4 hours at a time. I know one night it was all night long, so that was like 8 hours of the night it would just rain. Or you get these big thunderstorms, downpours. The Togolese do not like to go out in the rain. Now remember, we're down south, so we have a lot of sandy terrain. And motorcycles don't do well with rain when you've got 4 inches of rain and a bunch of sand underneath, so they don't travel well on the back roads. The main streets that are paved are just fine to walk. But a lot of them will not go to work, and we've had some workers cancel on us because it had just rained that day, and it's just understood. Or I try to let my house help go early when I see a storm coming up saying, you got to go home before it starts downpouring on you. And that's our street. It always got flooded every time it rained there. And with the rain comes the mold. And that I did not know going in. And I went through, was cleaning out my closet, and I was finding mold all over my clothes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I did not know it works like this. So one of the tips one of the missionary wives gave me was use bounce sheets. Bounce dryer sheets collect the moisture. So I had my mom send me a big stack of them, and we shoved them in between all of our stacks of clothes in our closet. And sure enough, we did not have a problem with mold after that. So before we left to come home, we're sticking dryer sheets in our drawers wherever we left clothes. Now, can somebody tell me what this would be a picture of on the right there? Anybody want to give a guess? Okay, sandstorm was mentioned. That's close. The streaks are actually the windshield. That might throw you off. But that's a picture of a sunrise, 6 in the morning. There's no filters on the camera. That's just straight out the windshield. Because during dry season, there's a season called harmattan. And that's when the winds will come out of the north. They pick up the dust of the Sahara Desert, and they bring it to whatever countries are down west. Now, being in Lomé, we don't get the brunt of it. The countries north of us will have it the worst. But people will ride around with masks on. And you can stare at the sun for 3-4 hours as it goes up. Maybe about high noon, you can't. But it's just, the kids and I are always amazed that we can go out and just stare at this big red circle because the dust just filters all those bad rays out. And or you don't see the sun for weeks at a time. I remember the first year there, we didn't see the sun for 4 or 5 weeks because there's just constant dust in the air. Now that does put dust all over the house, all over the dishes. We learn to rinse things off. I still find myself rinsing things off even here because I just got into the habit of doing that. The canned goods, you have closets, but it just gets into the closets. And then I learned that the mold grows on the dust. So if you don't clean the dust off, then the mold, so dry season, rainy season. But we're sweeping 2-3 times a day. But those are just things you learn to live with, and you kind of get used to it. But then you think, do you take the mold or you take the dust? I take the mold because it's cooler in the rainy season. This is a little video of downtown Lomé. You'll see a lot of like those patio umbrellas, and people are selling stuff. That's how they make their money. They sell things. Anybody on the side of the road can sell anything from pasta and tomato sauce to diapers, cell phone covers, charger cords, whatever they can find to sell. This guy here sells butchered pigs. And the pork meat is very good. He was in our neighborhood once, and I said, let's try his meat. And tried it, and it was really good, so we go back. But we did learn to buy his meat early in the morning, because he will sit there all day until all of his meat is sold. And one time we saw him at 7 o'clock one night with little piles of meat that were left. And it's like, I know those were out all day in our 97 degree weather. These are ladies carrying stuff on their head. That lady in the middle has a pretty high load there, and it's covered with a net so it doesn't fall over. But this is how ladies will sell. A lot of times you see them walking through town selling their goods. Either they get stopped by somebody who wants it and they sell it, or they plop themselves down on a street corner and they wait for people to come by and they sell it as people come through, and then they get up and move to another street. And that's how they sell their goods. They have flip-flops to rice, to soaps, salt, and then, you know, the dishes, all sorts of things they carry around on their heads. The food we eat, this was after a meal we had at a church. When Honoré goes to preach at churches, when he's asked to preach, they always feed us a meal or give us some food. And so, there's a pig, because we missionaries had a pig roast one day. And so they split the pig open and roasted it like that. It's really good meat. Okay, so here's a typical meal. You have the soup with meat, and then above it in that white dish, you can see a big mass of a white blob. Okay, that is called fufu, and it's like mashed potatoes, and it's so stiff and dense you can cut it with a knife. So what they do is they rip it off, and they roll it into a ball with their hands, and then they dip it in the broth and soaks up the broth, and they eat it. And then they'll eat the meat with their hands. And that's how they, because you think of that and say, how do they eat the broth with their hands? Well, they take that fufu, or there's another one called pot, and that's made with a cornmeal or a corn flour. And the same thing, you just break off pieces, dip it in, and eat it like that. Now, their soups are always spicy because they use a lot of red pepper and green peppers, habanero peppers, those red skinny peppers. So if you think of the hot salsa and a little spicier in that, and that's normal for them. So we have a restaurant that we really like their food, but we always know going in this is going to be a little spicy. But we like all of their food in Togo. Now, there's a candy I found at a grocery store called Very Bad Kids. Anybody want to guess what its equivalent is in the States? Sour Patch Kids, yep. I thought that was funny. Okay, so this is our favorite Sunday evening meal. Poisson braisé is what it's called. It's grilled fish, broiled fish. And Honoré brought one home one night, and he started eating it. I'm like, oh, that looks good. Let me try it. And it was really good flavoring. It's not spicy at all, just full of flavor. And then the kids tried it, and then they liked it. So we went to like one fish to three fish per night, because it's just, you know, you have to ask the kids what favorite part of the fish that they like to eat, because that's kind of different. You can see a dish to the side. It's got tomatoes and onions. That's kind of like a couscous that they'll serve with the fish. And then straight above, you see the big fat French fries. That's called coleco. And that is just a root plant that they've chopped up and deep fried, just like we do with French fries. All very good stuff. Now, Honoré's turn. He's going to talk about ministry and what we've been able to do ministry-wise.
All right, so in Togo, on Sunday we go to the beach. On Saturday we go to the beach. And Monday we go to the beach. No, it's not like that. So what we do, we are privileged to be involved in the training leadership. I am always fascinated by, the idea that in order for Christianity to grow strong in Africa, not just in Togo, we need to have a solid leaders. It's a leadership. Without a leadership, you can't do much. So I'm going to be reference to We Train Pastors. And please understand that in Togo and Africa in general, a church called a pastor and then get him trained. So it's not like you get trained and become a pastor. No, they call you and then you get trained. So most of our people that we teach or work with are pastors in the center of a church. So we are involved by God's grace in an institute that was there before we arrived. It was almost ready to get closed, but by God's grace, we were able to reinvent it. And we are also able to, instead of having one school where everybody come to get trained at the school, we have different sites now. So we have three sites, one in Lome, that's the capital city where we live, another one in Parliament, which is, rightly so, 2 hours from Lome. So don't change that. It's not an hour and a half. It depends who is driving, okay? So it's 2 hours, and Tico is 2.5 hours, and we're able to do ministry in those places. So there's an institute in Parliament, institute in Lome, and institute in Kara. One of the nice things about the process is seeing pastors or men accepting what God is telling them in his word and using those things to apply in the ministry and see how God is using them to transform lives and lives change. Go, folks, there's nothing that excites me more than that. That to see people accepting God's word and putting their lives and you see transformation in their lives and you know they mean business and they're serious about it. Give me a room or one person with a Bible, I am happy, okay? That's my passion. That's what I'm excited about doing. And I'm sure my kids can tell you. And there's nothing else I would rather be doing than doing this. So the next city on the east coast of Togo is called Afanya. We are able to team up to start a church in that village. It's a village on the east coast of Togo. If you know anything about voodoo worship in Africa, it's in Benin. That's its most concentrated. And this city, a village, is close to Benin. Haiti is number one in the world when it comes to voodoo. Benin is number two. That's the headquarters. So this village people, all they know is voodoo. And by God's grace, we were able to team up to have to plant a church in this village. It was not in our radar. It wasn't the first plan we had, but God, in his sovereignty, decided for us to do that. And God is leading people to himself. I mean, having a Bible study and evangelism under the tree, and people come and receive the gospel and get saved, what else do you want? So in this village, I'll be talking a little bit more about it. We want to develop leaders there and plant more churches in that area because all they know is voodoo. Now, if you know anything, if you knew anything about voodoo, it's a witchcraft, evil spirit, and just spiritism, basically. And those so people to turn from idols and accept the living God, it's a big a challenge, and it makes a big difference. I already talked to you a little bit more on my time with the chief of the village as well. So, like I said, we do ministry in Atapame, in another city. It's about 4 hours from Lome. And then Palime, we have an institute there, blind school there. I just enjoyed a room full of guys challenging them from the Bible, what God says about this. They've been doing ministry, just so you understand. They've been doing ministry before we arrived, but without any training whatsoever. Some have some little bit of training or education, but that's it. But now let's get through a program where we can tell you from God's word how this applies to your life, how that changes your life, how you can use this to change other people's life in your ministry. And that's a blessing. We do it in the Kara. Kara was one of the institute places that we started. And by God's grace, we have the institute, and we have at a bachelor level to it. And Lord willing, next year, we'll be doing a master's level as well. It's a blessing to see the... Because I travel in all these cities to teach, along with other people. We have two other people that teaches. So we travel a lot to teach. And one day, I was traveling, and I say, how long am I going to be doing this? I can't do this for forever. But that means we need to have other people trained to be able to change us, to teach us well. And that's how the master's program started off. And we've been talking, and Lord willing, we'll get off the ground sometime next year. So, Kara, I was able to teach the first class. When we developed the plan for months, getting together, even the course that will be taught, and the people that will teach, we change all these things. And it started, and I got to teach the first class. That was exciting. I see a room full of guys and come in, literally soak it in. My biggest problem in serving in Togo, it's not the culture, it's not the people, it's me making sure that what I say is exactly what God says. Because people are accepting what you're saying, and they're taking it to heart, and they're applying. So if you say God says, you better make sure that God really said that. Because I strongly believe that there are Sundays God sit on his throne, and when we preach in here, he said, Honore, what you tell the people, that's not what I said. Honore, what you just said there? No. Moses, is that what I said? No, he doesn't know much, God. So I firmly believe that we need to make sure that what I'm saying to them, God really said that. So by seeing that, it is a challenge to me, and it also encourages me to see how God uses his word to transform lives. when I talk about transforming lives, I want to give you an example of how there was a bunch of counseling done in Togo by different pastors. Again, they don't have a training. They're doing their best. And so they will say something to the fact like, for the situation you're going through or you're seeing, for to prove that you're really serious, you mean business with God, you need to take a walk about 2 or 3 miles as a token of punishment. And that's a counseling. I said, where is that in the Bible? No, God never said that. So I have a couple that came to me and then said, hey, Pastor, we're going through some situation we want to talk to you about. Sure, come over. And it was a Thursday. I needed to teach at 6 p.m. So I said, I want to come 4 o'clock. We'll be done 5, and I can drive to the place and teach. Well, they came, and the husband spoke for 20, 25 minutes. And I said, well, that's great. Now, I have a coin in my pocket, and I pull it out, and I say, you see this coin? It has two sides. Hunter and Sifa, it's a head and a tail. Well, okay, so I hear your side. Let me hear her side. His eye got big, and I said, why? What's the matter? He said, no. That's not how it's supposed to be done. I said, yes, that's how I do it. Because in the culture, when a husband and wife go see pastor, the husband talks to the pastor, and that's it. And then a pastor tells the wife what she needs to do to change the marriage. And sometimes she didn't even go to the meeting. The husband goes to the pastor, and they talk to him. They have a solution, and he goes to the wife, and they say, you need to do A, B, C, D, so our marriage can be good. So when I turn to her and I say, I'm going to hear your side, he's like, he's in trouble, you know? So I hear her side. She talk about 10, 15 minutes. And I say, okay, that's great. I understand what you're saying. I don't do counseling the first meeting, solve the world problem. But we get it. I listen, thinking, pray about it. And then next time, we get some ideas and have a biblical principles. But before you leave, let me ask a couple questions. First, tell me about your salvation story. I'm not going to hear how you got saved. Well, both gave me salvation story. Great, fantastic. So when did you get married? Oh, Pastor, that's the thing. We never got married. Okay, all right. So you never got married. So how long have you been living together? 7 years. Okay, all right. I have enough information. We meet next week. So they came next week, and I say, okay, what you talk about, relationship, trust, problem, communication, all these things, we address it. But the most important thing is the way how God sees your relationship. The way God sees you both right now is, excuse me, a brother in the Lord sleeping with a sister in the Lord, period. There's no much about that. You know, you need to do things the right way to have a God blessing. I said, well, I didn't get married because I didn't have money to pay for a dowry. In Africa, before you're married, the future husband buys some items or gives some items to the future wife's family as a token of his appreciation for the wife of the future wife, and we call that dowry. And each tribe decided what constituted the dowry: goats, cows, money, jewelry, materials, and all kind of stuff. And how much and how little, it's, and alcohol always involved with it. And that's how he said, I don't have money to buy all these things. That's why I didn't get married. And I said, wait, that's good. I'm glad you can explain to that, but you know what you're doing? You're telling God it's your fault that I didn't have a job to save up money to do the right way. You can't blame God for living a sin. God can bless you because of that. And I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what God says about his word when it comes to marriage. You need to do A, B, C, D before you can get married and live together. And both will look at me and say, Pastor, we want to do the right thing. Which means live apart, work toward paying the dowry, and get married and live together. Folks, when you see people accepting God's word and putting their lives, you don't want anything else. That was exciting. So I was able to talk to them a week before we left about marriage and talking about communication stuff. And then, so that's part of the ministry. And the pastors, we have a pastors' conference and focusing on the counseling. And the pastors, before the conference, I said, we need to invite ladies to come to the conference as well, pastor's wife. No, you can't invite a pastor's wife. It's not good for the pastor's wife to be part of the conference. Say, why? Well, because the wife sit there, the husband will be uncomfortable to learn. It's intimidating for him. I said, okay, all right, let's talk about this. What's the demographic of your church? 75% of church members are women. When a pastor's doing counseling, he has issues or a problem and needs advice, who does he go to? Well, his wife or other ladies in the church. So those ladies don't have any training, any tools. What kind of advice are they giving the pastor? Oh. So we're able to invite the ladies to the conference for the first time. And we were planning for 100 people. We have over 200 people at the conference. And every single month after that conference, when I go to church, a pastor's wife comes and says, thank you for inviting us to come to the conference. We really appreciate it. We'll be able to, it was a help to us to be able to minister to our ladies in our church. So seeing that is a blessing to see how God is using our ministry through our partnership in Togo. I want to tell you this also. I don't know if you get our email update. By the way, the table there, if you have signed up and you're not getting your email update, please let us know. Maybe something happened in email, software, list, distribution stuff. And we want to fix that, make sure you get an email. And if you have not gotten it, you would like to get it, please sign up. We'll get to make sure we get it. I want to say that, make the advertisement before I forgot. So we were working in our neighborhood after we moved into the neighborhood. And I saw a gentleman, a family, we were walking in the neighborhood, paralyzed from waist down. Has crutches walking. Honestly, the crutches are just metal. Nothing soft on it. And I took a look at my wife and kid and said, we got to do something about this. So after talking, and we got him, we got a 3 weeks bike. How do you call it? A 3-wheel cart, whatever you call it, okay? So we put it together and pray, called this gentleman. He came to our house. Hey, how you doing? How's your name? How did you get this? And all kind of stuff. And asked the kids, bring the bike from the garage. You should see his face. Big, wide. And I said, this is for you. Oh, no, I can't take it. I said, why? He goes, I can't afford it. I said, oh, that's no problem. This is free of charge. It's for you. The only thing I ask you to do is to commit to 4 to 6 weeks of Bible study with me. After that, you're free to do whatever you want. Sure enough. Do you have a French Bible? Nope. We got a French Bible as well. Never owned a Bible. Never read a Bible. It was exciting to see him. So we started Bible study. By God's grace, after 4 weeks of meeting, he trusts Christ as his personal Savior. So the day I got saved, I called the kid and I said, you know what? This is a friend. It was a friend, but today he's a brother. And that was a blessing. So we continued the Bible study. After the 6 weeks, I said, you know what? We're done with a commitment. You do whatever you want. If you want to come back, I'm happy to do it. He said, no, I want to come back. So he said, okay, you tell me what you want to talk about. I want to learn about prayer. Sure. Next week, what are you going to do? I want to talk about baptism. Sure. So we talk about that. And after this study, I said, do you have any questions? No. But one time he came and said, yeah, I have questions. So I asked questions, we talk about it, and I said, okay, where did that question come from? Well, you know, when we do Bible study here, when I go home, I talk about the stuff we talk here with my neighbors. Unbeknown to me, I didn't know that. So he was doing that Bible study on his own. So when we read, when we do Bible study, he's looking at the Bible from distance. I say, dude, what's wrong with you? Well, I discovered that he has some reading problem, eyes problem. So we got him reading glasses. Oh, my goodness. And got him new crutches as well. It was like a Christmas all over for him. It was a blessing to see him growing in the Lord. Praise God for that. We do village evangelism. Like we have a medical school, hospital. So we do the villages and do evangelism with our people. That picture there, before I forget, if Casey moves out, that's another gentleman that we were able to get a bike to. He's a Muslim, devoted Muslim, and we get him Bible, this bike, and do a Bible study with him as well. Unfortunately, I cannot say if that he is saved, but a seed was planted, okay? So we do a village, we do evangelism. Medical people come and take blood pressure and talk about medical stuff, and I have opportunity to share gospel with people. One day we went to a village, and before we went, we always talked to the chief, and the chief gave permission to start. But that day, he was not there. In Africa, the tradition is very strong. You have to do things by the tradition. So we asked permission, and the day of, when you arrive, you still have to go to the chief and let him know that you're back. You're going to do this. But he was not there. So he said, well, since we already talked to him once, we can start the thing until he comes back. So we finished almost, and he came. And as we're discussing, he said, thank you for coming. I know your hospital. Your hospital helped me, helped my son, all kind of stuff. And he looked at me and said, can you please start a church here? If you know me, I'm like, wait. Did you just say that? What did you say? I said, yeah, can you start a church here? Okay, fair enough. I said, why should we start church here? He said, Pastor, you don't understand. All my village people, all they know is voodoo. But if you come and start church here, they will experience the love of God that I experienced with your ministry. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. So we're able to, after I have that conversation with the chief, the kids get out of school. Bunch of them came, about 30 or 40. And I'm like, God, we're getting ready to leave. And I'm like, this is a wonderful opportunity. I don't want to waste this time. So I got a soccer ball. I said, guys, come on, let's play soccer ball. So I got the kids, and we're kicking soccer ball after 10 minutes. I said, okay, stop. Share the gospel with these kids. Bunch of them came to know Christ as their personal Savior. I was like, this is the best moment of my life. All right. So it has been a wonderful time. So we do that and do a lot of counseling. A part of our ministry to pastors. One thing I do also is I minister to pastors, work with them as a discipleship so they can minister to their members. And that's one thing that I was able to do. And back, and Lord willing, by God's grace, in February, we started what's I call Pastor's Breakfast. And at 5:30 in the morning, we met. And I said, it only take about an hour. About five of them. And I said, an hour, breakfast. For those who drink coffee, I don't drink coffee, so hey, drink tea, and we pray and have a devotions. That's it. The first time, we spent about 2.5 hours. I said, guys, that's not what I intend for. The second time, it was going to go, and I said, no, we got to stop. So once a month, we meet. Right before we left, in May, they called me, and they said, you leave in July? We want to have a meeting before we leave. So we left on July 23rd. We met July 22nd. And after talking and I would do the Bible study, one of them said, Pastor, we want to thank you for these things. We were doing ministry before. We know we're trying. But since we started doing this breakfast, our ministry has changed. We're more Bible focused. We're sensitive to what God says to do ministry more than before. Thank you for doing this. To me, that's a blessing. And when you have a student come in and say, let me tell you this. I was teaching a class one time. It was about a Christian home. And one of the other, I learned interaction. So I told them at the beginning, I said, here, we're here, here. You ask questions. If it's your question, your life, just say something to the fact that there was a member in my church has this question or this, so we're not looking at you, but we will answer the questions. So they have a freedom to ask questions. And one of the questions is, when is it okay to punish my wife? Well, you need to understand that culture is okay. And one guy says, well, I have a member in my church. Him and his wife, they have a vehicle, and they both have a secular job. So on the way to work, he would drop off his wife and then continue to his job. But one day, there's something happened between them, and the way to punish his wife, he said, you got to walk to work and while I take the car to work. Is that okay? Those are the questions I received. That tells me where they are, the things that they're dealing with. I say, it's never okay to punish your wife. End of discussion. No matter what. And so that generated a lot of questions and a lot of discussions just to help them grow. All right. So here's I am in the classroom teaching. And my wife also had the opportunity to do a ladies, mother-daughter fellowship. It was a wonderful. One of them we did in one church, and other churches hear it. Everybody want to have a mother-daughter fellowship. So we were able to do another one right before we came. I do one-on-one Bible study, one-on-one discipleship with pastors, pastor's breakfast, as I mentioned. I got to move on here a little fast. This is a conference we're talking about in January. Church planting, yes, the church planting I was talking about. That's the village that I was talking about, the voodoo, and we were meeting outside. The day we were having one of the meetings, there was a little kid sitting next in front eating, and he has a water bowl next to him. It was yellow. I said, what? I thought that's water to wash his hand. We were told before we arrived, I said, do not drink water from here. So we brought a water bottle. But now I understood why. What turned out, they do not have any running water in this village. The water they have is the stagnant water. About 7 kilometers they have to walk to get that water. It's not a river. It's not nothing. It's a stagnant water. And I get to talk to the chief. And he said, I oversee about 13 villages in this area. The same condition, water. It's dry, dry, dry. And these people, all they know is voodoo. And I'm thinking, we're planting a church here. What is the best, great way to reach out to these people? If we're able to get a well in this village. For me, it's not just to quench their thirst to have a clean drink of water. But for me, it's provide a platform to give up the gospel. So by God's grace, we start a project. We would like to see a well dug in this village. And I can tell you, that will change. That will open so much door, not just the village, but surrounding village, if we make the water available to them. The day I went to the village to talk to the chief about digging well, unbeknown to him, he told the village people that we've been talking about these things. When I went, I feel like I was a star. It's like unbelievable. And all of them just bow down and welcome him. And I say, oh, no. We haven't got it yet. We're just talking about it. So we send a couple guys to get a coat for the well. The guy, I wasn't in the state, so I sent somebody. He reported, he said, I went to the village and start doing a survey. People were thanking me just for coming. That tells you how much they need the water. And if we're able to do that, by God's grace, I'm telling you, I know that's going to open a lot of doors. So Bible Institute, we have a graduation in June this year. I travel so much. Between March and mid of June, I have not been home for more than 4 days at a time. It was crazy. I don't know what I was thinking when I was making the schedule. But the opportunity is so great. The need is so great. I just feel like, got to do it. Just don't tell my wife. All right, so we have some projects that I want to share with you if you want to continue to pray for us. And one of them is counseling center. We mentioned a video this morning. We'd love to have a counseling center in Lome. And also a scholarship for pastors. To train the pastors, it takes money.
And one thing we do is we don't do it for free. They have to be a part of it. Let me tell you one thing. That one of the things that encourages me all the time with the guys. There was in Kara where I said I got to teach the first class. So we have a pastor coming from a village about an hour and a half from the city where we're doing about the training. This pastor, his salary is $15 a month. Okay? But because he's going to be traveling, he said, I got to relocate my family to the city so I can get a training and then move back to the village because I don't want to lose contact with my church. He didn't say anything like this to me. I heard from the guy who oversees the program there. So he relocated and he would travel to the village Wednesday and the weekend to go teach them. On his still on his $15 salary. And when I heard that, he didn't ask for it. And I said, you know what? For this year, the tuition is what? $5 per course. And I said, you take care of the first $2. I'll take care of the first $3 for the rest of the year. And by the God's grace, we're able to do that. So for me, it's not just to give money, but it's to encourage the people to get training. And he has a church, and he's getting training. And for me, that's one way to encourage me. So we need a scholarship for this kind of program. And the master's program is going to need a scholarship as well. Also, because I travel teaching a lot, I would like to get some recording equipment. So if we do retreats, I do a lot of retreats with pastors as well, leadership retreats. We record stuff and send it to other churches in Togo, the leaders who were not able to come to the class. And this is the video of the village, the water I just talked about. That's the color of the water they are drinking. And he's drinking in front of me. And I cannot believe it that people would still be drinking something like that. So we'd love to get the partner to get the well in that village. Again, it's not water is not my problem. It's a platform for the gospel ministry. So we're praying about also having a different vehicle because our vehicle there was not made for the condition of the road. When I say condition of the road, please understand that it's not a road here. In Togo, the roads, it's this much wide, and you have 18-wheeler coming on the other side. And the way part of you driving on, you have a pothole big enough that you can bury yourself in it. And then you have the motorcycle, about 10 each side, and you have a pedestrian want to cross over, and you have a dogs and a cat and all animal, and we have a donkey's on the road. And then to do that and manage and still go to where you're going, folks, every time we come home, I say, praise the Lord for safety. So if you don't do anything for us, please pray for safety for ourselves. It's very important for us. Every time, it's a safety. So one of the roads, we are going to a church that we have a ministry with for children there. And that's the road. So we're praying for a vehicle that will be a little higher, a four-wheel or four-wheel drive. So we were going to church, and I was driving the van, and it was too high, so I back up, and there's a part of the van sitting in the middle of the road. And then the hardest part is the vehicle, we couldn't get the part in Togo, so we had to order the part overseas all the time. So we like to get a vehicle that we can get part in the Togo. Everything is imported, so we have a Toyota dealership or Honda dealership that we can get part with them. So we're praying about getting a vehicle that will work out. This is a road that has an accident between 18-wheeler facing each other. You see how the guy is, behind the guy there, it's the van going through, and I was supposed to drive there as well. And we're going to Mango to do ministry that day. And next to me, my wife is next there, and she goes, but do you know there was no space? There's a ditch next there, and it go deep, about 100 feet down. I said, no, I don't know. So that's not my side, it's your side. No. So this is an extended family. Again, teaching. I want to seriously thank you for the part that you play in our ministry. We praise God for what you do. It's because you give. It's because you pray. We are able to talk about all these things. And we give God the glory. It's not for us.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time, but I hate not taking any questions. So if you have a quick question, please let me know. We have our table. We'll be at the end of the table there. You can come and sign up for email, take our prayer card. We have updated our prayer card, so we want to change it. The kids have grown since last time I was there. My wife's feeding them. That's why they're growing. I said not to feed them, but she's still doing it. But anyway, so the picture have changed. The information are still the same. So you can just take a new prayer card and bookmarks and just pray for us. Sign up for email update. Any quick question? I understand the ladies asked all the questions my wife this morning, so I'm not expecting questions for the ladies.
I realize you say it's voodooism, witchcraft, and so forth that goes on in some of these villages. Have you ever been hexed and known you've been hexed? And they know for you coming in, and someone tells you and says, hey, you're under a curse now. Have you ever been needled in the neck as you're walking around?
Not yet, and I hope not to. But I tell you what, the village, the well situation, I'm praying about, because what happened is when people see that the gospel is coming, Satan also has plans. So I'm expecting a lot of things happen, because this is the center of voodoo worship. And you come to do well, to give a gospel, and the Satan is going to fold your arm and say, go ahead and do it. No, so I'm expecting things like that to happen in the village, and you have to expect and pray about it.
Do the witch doctors and so forth, do they, like if you're preaching the gospel in a village, would they hold another?
Of course, yes.
Right,
oh, yes.
Right, like
next to you. Next to you, yes. One of the things is, because before you go, you got to tell the chief.
Okay.
And the chief tell the rest of the people that you're coming. And they make their plans.
Yes.
And in fact, they tell the chief not to let you come. But the chief has to, because somehow of a freedom of religion. So when you come and they're watching you, and even the church members, they tell you, it's not easy things. It's a reality. And you have to be prepared for it, because you don't know what they're going to do, or you don't know. And you're at the mercy of God. But one thing I do know, he who is in me is bigger than he who is out there. So I can depend and rely on that part.
What prevalent is Islam?
Very much. Very much prevalent. The good news is right now there's no antagonism between the Muslim and the Christianity. However, around us, Boko Haram is very big. In Burkina Faso, for instance, they hit Burkina Faso. Last 2 years, they've been hitting Burkina Faso. In Ivory Coast, which is about two countries down. So when they hit Ivory Coast Mali, you know, Mali has turmoil. They found their documents there, and the plan is, in fact, when Osama bin Laden was killed, they found some documents, CIA found documents, and Togo was mentioned in his master plan. So in the West Africa, Mali, when they find the documents, six countries were supposed to be hit. Nigeria, they're very big there. Burkina Faso, they're very big there. Mali and Ivory Coast. And the only two countries that have not been hit in the West Africa is Togo and Ghana. And they have those in the country on the list as well. So please pray for us. It's not a good thing. I don't like to talk with the kids, especially when the grandparents are there. I don't like to do it, because then it's like life is over. But it's a reality. So as we have opportunity, we take it and share the gospel. Also, someone in Togo right now has burned mosque and then burned a church. You know what that means? Try to paint Christians against Muslims. So we don't know who's doing it. The government still haven't found it, but that's how bad it is. The trouble in Togo among Muslims themselves. Who's going to be leader? Who's going to be in charge? And so they're fighting themselves. So it's prevalent. They're doing all kind they can to spread Islam teaching, but has not been against the Christians. There was another hint. Sir, did you have it? Yeah.
The cost would be for to put a well in.
Yes, the well, to dig a well there is going to need at least $30,000. Here's why. The soil there is so dry, to dig, you have to dig at least 200 meters, which is about what? 500 or 600 feet down to get a drinking water. People who have dug less than that get water, but it's not drinking water. It's not clean, and it's not even coming out as it should be. So that's a really, one company even give a quote for $129,000. And I say, we can't do that. But at least right now, I think with between 30 and 40,000, we can get a company who can get to closer to 200 meters. Okay.
And how much would a four-wheel drive vehicle cost for
you? Yeah, a four-wheel drive, really high Toyota or Honda, please, this, a neighborhood of 40,000. Here's why. Anything that goes in Togo, we can't buy this vehicle in Togo if everything is imported. So you got to pay the import fees. That's what kills us. It's about 50%. And then you have to pay for the taxes and everything else. So that's why it's a little high, about 40,000. And we're not expecting something brand new, but something that's a little high, that four wheels. One time we were going to a village, it was water on the road. We almost didn't make it. And also, we can get parts in Togo because of the Toyota dealership in Togo. We can order those as well if it's needed. So we don't want something really, really junky where you put it there, next day you have to order part, but you want to use it for a couple of years before you've been getting a new part. So that's why we want to aim for that much as well. Okay. All right. I want to turn over to Pastor. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Very informative, and we appreciate getting to know and see what the Lord is doing there in Togo through your ministry. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me give just a couple of announcements. We'll take an offering, and then we will close with prayer. But announcement-wise, remember that Tuesday is our business meeting at 7 o'clock right here in the auditorium, so please keep that in mind. Everyone's welcome, but we certainly encourage especially our members to be here for our business meeting on Tuesday. Ushers come to receive our offerings tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for what we've heard and for what you are doing there in Togo. We just appreciate so much being part of that ministry through our support of the Afolabis. I pray that we'd continue to pray for them, that you would continue to meet their needs, and I just pray that you would move in our hearts to do what we can to help them in that ministry. With the offering tonight, I thank you, Father, for their presence with us today and just their ministry with us. May we reflect that in our giving. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Joan. I've asked a couple of fellows to lead us in prayer as we close our service tonight, specifically praying for the Afflabys and their ministry. So, Scott and who else did I ask? Oh, Greg, yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, you're an awesome God. We get so in the United States box that we sometimes don't realize what you are doing elsewhere. And you tell us in Revelation that Jesus' blood purchased men from every tribe and every nation and made them a kingdom of priests. Lord, we just thank you for what we heard tonight, and I just praise you for who you are and how great you are and how we can have the confidence that you are greater than he that is in the world. And just think about the people here in Togo and their needs. Lord, really the formula is the same, whether we're here in the States or whether we're in Africa. There's people in need, and you are the answer. And I just pray for the ministry there. Pray that you would supply the needs. We think about the well and any of us that have seen what those people drink, it changes us. And we realize, Lord, that you tell us in James to what good does it do to tell somebody how much you care about them if we see a need and we don't try to meet that need. And I just pray that you would supply what's needed and those people would realize that the reason that Honoré is there and the reason that the well and the clean water is a passion is because we love them and you love them. And there would be a clear distinction between the light and the darkness. And once people see that light, I just pray that they would be drawn to it. Pray for their protection. Father, as Honoré has said, Satan's not going to sit idly by and see the darkness turn to light without a fight. So I just pray for their protection as they go about their daily business for the whole family. Lord, and thank you again that we could partner with them as investors in your kingdom. You don't need us, Lord, but you allow us. We don't have to, we get to be a part of your work, and we just thank you and praise you for that. And thank you for this evening. Pray for Honoré and his family as they travel here through the States. Give them safety here too, Lord, and some refreshing time, and then prepare them for what lies ahead when they go back. And again, just thank you, Lord, for saving us. We've all been rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and just give us the passion to share that with others, whether we're here or Africa, in Jesus' name.
Father, we continue to pray. We're just so grateful that they were able to come tonight and today to share their testimony. And this certainly is convicting in my heart, and I suppose others, that it's just also a wonderful blessing that we can see someone so excited and so on fire for the Word of God and spreading to the utmost parts of their communities. And we're just grateful that it inspires us. It causes us to think differently. And we know that their safety and their ministry concerns, the things they're working on, we know, Lord, that they are in your will and you are a sovereign God. But having said that, we know that we also have the right and privilege to pray for them to let them know that they are loved brothers and sisters by more than just the people around them. And Lord, we just pray that their ministry opportunities and the that all those around them would seek only you. It is exciting seeing leaders so excited to absorb your word, and that it absorbing it like sponges. It's those leaders will then be pastors of churches, and to see your word go out and to spread, it's nothing short of amazing, because by human standards, we know that that doesn't seem very likely or possible in some parts of the world or any parts of the world. Seems as our biggest problem here in this country is more one of apathy than complete darkness, but we see that even that brings great darkness and brokenness when we're separated from you. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us. We're grateful that you have put a new heart in us and that we can see your word and understand it, and understand that that only came through your effort, that we are not capable ourselves. And we're grateful for that and the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray.
Let's stand together. Father, as we conclude our service this evening, we want to give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for what you're doing in Togo. Thank you for the pastors being trained. Thank you for the men and women being discipled. Thank you for the churches being planted. And Father, we just ask that you would continue to cause these ministries to thrive. We pray that your word would continue to go forth there in Togo. We do pray, Father, for the Afolabis. We pray for their safety as they travel here in the States and then as they return back to Togo. We pray for their spiritual growth as you would continue to work in their hearts and in their lives as they are surrendered to you, and we thank you for that. Pray for their health. We know that in a country such as this that there are many diseases, and we just pray that you would protect them from those things and keep them healthy, keep them safe. Again, we just rejoice in what you have done, and we continue to trust you for the future. Pray that you'd meet the needs for this well to be dug, the needs for a vehicle. We know that that's nothing for the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We just pray that you'd meet that need. Again, Father, we rejoice in the ministries taking place, and we look forward to hearing of greater things in the future as our Lord tarries. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.